It was encouraging to hear from Scott. Scott was commenting about deficit so often. I think he misspoke when he said we ended the year with 110,000 deficit. No, we ended with a surplus. Over expense is 110,000. So you all clapped anyway, so I think you understood. I think you understood where he was going with that. God has been so gracious. And it is through you, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open them to 2 Timothy, we are in this letter that Paul writes, this last letter to Timothy this morning. I don't know how many of you know, maybe it just sort of went unnoticed by many of us. This past Friday was National Coming Out Day. It's a day that the LGBTQ community has tried to sort of celebrate coming out of the closet. And as they seek to come out and try to be honest with the identity that they understand themselves to have, I wonder why it is that so many of us as Christians seem to be going into the closet. It's hard for us to come out and openly talk about Jesus. It's hard for us to come out and openly say that Jesus is the Lord, that our true identity isn't in our self-concept of ourselves. Our true identity is in what God has given to us specifically in Jesus Christ, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Our identity becomes in Christ, and yet we have this answer from the Word of God. And while others are coming out, some of us seem to be going into a closet and just sort of being quiet. We don't want to be noticed. We don't want to be seen. We don't want to stick out. And as Paul writes to Timothy, this possibly last letter that he pens that we still have a copy of, he knows that his days are coming to an end. He knows that his execution is around the corner. And what Paul says to Timothy is, Timothy, never, never be ashamed of Jesus. Whatever comes your way, never be ashamed of Jesus. If you have your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul begins this way, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. That's really important. The life that is in Christ Jesus, and Paul knows that his physical life is coming to an end. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I serve, as I did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. There's a pattern there of passing it on that Paul's going to share with Timothy again. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. The last words that a father would pen to his son are really important. And this is how Paul begins his last letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. Now, he's going to ask Timothy to come to visit him in Rome. We don't know, and Paul didn't know at the time whether Timothy was going to be able to make it before he was executed. But this is what he wants Timothy to hear. Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. As Paul writes this letter, he knows that his days are coming to an end. Christian history tells us that he was held before he was executed in the Mamertine prison. It's still in Rome. You can visit it in Rome. Maybe some of you have. You enter into it nowadays, into the first level. You go down through some stairs. It's a rock cell underground. The only real opening is a sort of grate above you. But in the middle of the floor of that rock cell is another hole. And prisoners would be dropped through that hole into another cell below looked just the same, but darker, danker, wetter, dirtier. Nowhere to bathe, nowhere to relieve yourself. You just were in the filth. It was not a prison that was used for helping people get back onto the street. It wasn't a prison holding people because of crimes. This was a prison you were placed in when you were just being held until you were executed. Now listen to Paul's words. He says to Timothy, we have the promise of life that's in Christ Jesus. So grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Timothy, never, never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, verse 8, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul would write in chapter 4, verse 6, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Time of my departure has come. He knows the end is around the corner. These are his final words of counsel to Timothy. Never, never be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, Timothy, because as we read on, Jesus kills death and he ignites life. He brings life where there was no life. He sets it on fire, and where there was death, he kills death. Read on, verse 9, this power of God in Jesus Christ who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages ever began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. Timothy, don't be ashamed. Verses 9 and 10 unpack for us a picture of this grace of God that is overwhelming and stunning, and it gives Paul immense hope even where he is being held in his last days. He says, this is the grace of God, not because of our works, verse 9, but because of his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus. Grace, that limitless, undeserved provision of God for our needs that we didn't earn. In fact, it was given to us. It was offered to us. It was promised to us before the ages began. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, the church where Timothy is pastoring, Paul put it this way, he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. What an amazing thought for Paul as he sits there waiting in jail for them to come and take him away and kill him. Before I was born, before the world was ever created, God had a plan to save my lost soul, and out of his grace, he worked this whole plan out, and it all happened when Jesus appeared. And he says, it's worth it, Timothy. That's why I'm here, and that's why I'm suffering, but it is all worth it. Look at verse 10. He says, it was manifested. It was planned before the ages began, but it was manifested. It came to light. It shows up through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Paul chooses a word for appearing there that was commonplace in the secular world of the day. It's not just the regular word for appearing. It's to appear when a god, supposedly, or a king appeared. And the Ephesians and Timothy would have immediately realized what Paul is saying is the appearing of Jesus was of God and king, and his appearing is of great power. He places Jesus over and against the false gods of the pantheon of the Greeks and the Romans. He places Jesus over against the Caesar worship, the emperor worship of the day. He says, no, when this true God and true King showed up, when he appeared, what does he do? He abolished death. Abolished means he rendered it lifeless. He killed death. He stripped it of all of its power. The greatest enemy we have, brothers and sisters, is completely stripped of all of its power. I wonder if Paul thought back to what Isaiah had written back in Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all our faces, and the reproach of his people he'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Brother and sister, I don't know what you're going through, but probably none of us in this room are facing the imminent certainty of being executed as Paul was. There may be some of us in this room who are facing a medical diagnosis that is terminal. And some of us in this room are realizing the days we have left on this planet are not long. There are some of us that are facing some very significant financial challenges. Some of us are facing some really overwhelming relationship challenges. I don't know what you are facing today, but remember this: Jesus has killed our greatest enemy, death. And it doesn't matter what you're facing. The enemy that looms in front of all of us, that brings terror to everyone, is completely destroyed. If Jesus can deal with that, he can deal with whatever else we're facing today. He has abolished death. He has killed death. And it doesn't end there. He goes on to say in the end of verse 10, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has ignited life. And it's not just any kind of life. It's eternal life. Eternal life that Jesus said is to know you, God, and your Son whom you have sent. Remember, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I throw everything away. All of my accomplishments, all of my identity, who I am, the person I was known to be in Jerusalem with a big, huge heritage and a lot of fame, I throw it all away for the purpose of knowing him. To know him is more valuable. Paul understood what life was all about. So now he is in a jail facing imminent death, and he says, oh, but he has brought life. He has ignited life. He remembers Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. If this is true, if Jesus has killed death and he has ignited life for us, not just simple life, but eternal life that will last for absolutely forever, then why are sometimes we hiding in a closet? Why do we feel ashamed to tell people about this amazing story, this amazing person, Jesus Christ? Why do we just want to fit in and so I'll do my job and I'll live my life, but I don't want to intrude anybody else's life. I'm going to just keep quiet. Paul says to Timothy, never, never be ashamed. There's a group of people in India. Some of us have been to India on multiple mission trips. A group of people called the Dalits, the Untouchables. Large numbers of them are coming to Christ these days. Large numbers of untouchables coming to Christ these days. There's also a large number of those untouchables, those Dalits who are coming to Christ, who are not publicly announcing that they're coming to Christ. They're called the secret Christians. Because to announce publicly that they have come to Christ means they've left Hinduism and they've left the caste system, and that means that the government assistance that comes to Dalits would no longer be given to them. And so because they don't want to lose that assistance, they are believing in Jesus themselves. They're believing quietly, but they're not publicly stating it. And some of us in America would say, no, 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 if you believed in Jesus, you got to just be out there. You got to tell people. You got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But how many of us this week have confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord? How many of us have run into the closet instead of coming out and publicly saying, I want you to know. I want you to know who Jesus is. I want you to know that he has killed death and he's ignited life, and I'm experiencing this eternal life. Sometimes it's because of suffering. We don't want to be ostracized. We don't want to be ridiculed. Paul was suffering. He says in verse 8 to Timothy, I want you to share in the sufferings. Adam says he wishes that wasn't there. Paul says it. He says it again in chapter 2, verse 3. I want you to share in the sufferings. Plan on it, Timothy. Jesus said, I'm not going to take you out of the world. The world has hated me. It's going to hate you. But we have a message that changes the world. We've got to come out. We've got to tell people this amazing message. Sometimes maybe we say, well, it's not the suffering, but the truth is it might be just the focus on ourselves that keeps us from sharing Jesus. We're focused on ourselves and we're concerned of what people would say or what people would think. We don't want to interfere with others. We're not focused on God because he deserved the glory for this amazing plan that he had before the ages ever began that we're the recipients of. We're not focused on others because we've got neighbors, we've got friends, we've got family members who are going to hell. We say, well, I don't want to bother anyone. I just want to... You know what that is? That's really pride. That's just saying, I know Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. I'll just keep it to myself. I really don't care what happens to this person or to that person, and I really don't care how much glory God gets. At least I know, and I'm okay. That's pride. Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy, never, never be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. You have been entrusted with the gospel. This amazing gift from God. And I want you to share it. I want you to see a video of a couple of our high school students who are beginning to experience what it means to share the gospel.
Hey, my name is Jeremy Einem, and I am the director of the high school ministry here at the church. And a couple weeks ago, as you guys know, we took a group of students down to Detroit to partner with Central Detroit Christian. And one of our main focuses as a team that week was evangelism, sharing the gospel, what is the gospel. And Asher was one of the students that came down with us, and he really just grew and understood a lot more about that whole idea. So Asher, can you share a little bit about what you learned that week?
Absolutely, Jeremy. That week on Detroit was one of the greatest times I had on a mission trip. It was very revealing to me that I've been in church a very long time, but I didn't really know what the gospel was. And so that was like really awesome for me at Devo's to learn about the gospel, that it is the good news. And the good news is that in the beginning was God created the world. He called it good, but sin entered through a man, Adam, and it created this separation between God and man. Like, we couldn't be with God because God can't be with sin because that's who he is. And so God sent his son in his love. He loves us first, 1 John 4:10. He lived a perfect life, and then he died on the cross for our sins. And the good news is that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe with his heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved.
Yeah, it's great to hear that no matter how long you've been in the church, sometimes we're just not equipped with the gospel. So I'm just excited for you now going off to college to be able to go and share the good news with people that don't know. We had a pretty big team that went with us to Detroit. Another one of the students that joined us on our team was Maya, and she's here with us today. And Maya had some opportunities throughout the week to share the gospel or to at least talk about Jesus with some of the kids that you worked with. So Maya, can you explain a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, of course. So this week I worked with the 8 to 9 year olds at camp. And at the end of camp one day, I was able to talk to a young boy. And he broke out into tears, and I asked him what was wrong, and he said that his grandfather died at a young age. So I told him that there was life after death, and there was nothing to worry about, because if his grandpa believed in Jesus, he'd be able to see him again one day.
Was it like hard having a conversation about Jesus with someone that you didn't know what they believed?
So my number one fear of sharing the gospel with people is rejection. But since he was really young, he took it in and accepted what I had to say, so it wasn't that hard.
And from our other conversations that we've had, I know that you have had other opportunities in life to talk about Jesus or share your faith or share the gospel. Can you give us a little bit more information on those?
Yeah, so I go to a public school, and a lot of my friends aren't Christians, so I'm able to share a little bit of a piece of my life with them when I say go to church on Sundays and just bring him into regular day conversations.
Do you have anyone like recently that you've had like a pretty intentional conversation about God with?
Yeah, I have my close friend, and she's been asking a lot of questions about the gospel lately, so I'm able to share just what I believe, and I feel like she hasn't truly accepted it yet, but she's coming to the fact that there is a God and that he died for her.
Do you feel like the fear of rejection has come into play with your friend or those conversations at all?
It's been easier since I've been practicing it more and just more comfortable with her, so it's not really a problem.
What would you say to people who haven't really been sharing their faith to those around them? How would you encourage them?
I believe that I've been placed in this position for a reason, and that you should take the opportunity that God has given you to share the gospel, whatever place you are. The fear of rejection isn't worth like the price of saving someone's life. So I would take the risk and just to share God's love, just as someone did for you.
Amazing stories. I've been placed in this place so that I can share the gospel with the people that are in this place. We've got students who are starting to share the gospel, and I hope that encourages us. Paul writes to Timothy, never, never, never be ashamed of the great story, the great impact, the great testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be ashamed, Timothy, because you have been entrusted with the gospel. That's what Paul goes on to say, beginning in verse 12. But I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. So follow the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me, in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. In the culture of that day, a deposit was something that when someone was going to take a long trip, they would take their most precious possession and they would leave it with someone to take care of. I have a clock that I absolutely love. It's in our house at home. It's in the shape of Africa. Every country in Africa is a different kind of wood. It's really beautifully done. The country where I grew up is made out of ivory, and it's a beautiful clock. I received it as a gift when I graduated from high school in West Africa, and when I went back to Uganda as a missionary about 10 years later, I left that clock with somebody to take care of. I did not want to lose it. If I had to run, if I had to evacuate sometime, I never wanted to lose that, and that was my deposit with somebody I could truly trust. God has deposited with us, entrusted to us, something of great value to him. It's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And what are we going to do with that gospel? Well, we can't be ashamed of it. We've been entrusted with it. And so as we're entrusted with this, now we entrust ourselves back to God. I don't know if you noticed, but in verses 12 and 14, twice Paul says, it's God who can keep us. It's God who can guard. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to guard this deposit for us. We entrust ourselves back to God. Now in verse 12, Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I'm convinced he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. What that really says in the original Greek is, I know the one who I believe, and I trust that he is able to guard what has been my deposit. So what is his deposit? Is it something he deposited with God, or is it something, the gospel that God deposited with him? Well, God keeps the gospel. God will preserve the gospel. God will keep it pure one way or another. He will. He has done that for thousands of years, and he will continue to do it until Jesus returns. But I think Paul is saying, I've made a deposit with God as well. As I carry this deposit of the gospel, it is easy to fear. It is easy to fear for my life, and I have deposited my life with him. Paul is facing execution. He says, but I know the one I've trusted. I know his character. Last week, Jimmy unpacked for us Psalm 91, and in Psalm 91, the first part of that, if you were here last week, you heard Jimmy unpack how it's the character of God that causes us, enables us to trust in him. Let me just read those first two verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The Most High is El Elyon, the highest God, the supreme God, the God above all other powers. That God, the one who dwells in the shelter of El Elyon, the Most High God, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the word Almighty. Almighty in our Bibles is El Shaddai, which means the God who knows exactly what you need and exactly how much you need and exactly the time you need it and then gives it to you. It's the picture actually of a mother of an infant child that can do absolutely nothing for himself. And the mother knows what the child needs, what time the child needs it, and how much the child needs, and gives it to the child. That's the picture of El Shaddai. The one who, when we abide in the shadow of El Shaddai, the Almighty, I will say to the Lord, Lord, that's Yahweh, the God who's made a covenant with me. You are my refuge and my fortress, my God. That's Elohim. There are other gods, El, but this is Elohim, the plural, the majestic plural. This is the God above every God. Boy, when we know his character, we can trust him. Paul says, Timothy, I know the one that I have entrusted my life to, and I am absolutely convinced he's able to guard me until that day. That's the day of judgment, the last day at the end of the age. He's able to guard me through this gospel that Jesus died for my sins. He is able to guard me. Everything that I have, I've entrusted to God. So then he says to Timothy, so I want you to follow the pattern of the sound words. Timothy, don't change them. Watch your own life. In verses 15 and following, we have examples of people who've walked away. He says, Timothy, you watch your life because any of us can fall. You watch your life, but you keep that simple gospel. Don't try to make it palatable to people. Don't try to make it adjust to the culture today. This is the gospel. God is the greatest communicator, and he's communicated just fine. He doesn't need us to fix it for him. So leave the gospel as the gospel. You heard the sound words that I gave to you. Now you pass those on. And by the Holy Spirit, verse 14, who dwells in us, guard this deposit that has been entrusted to you. We have a faithful God. He is completely faithful. If we know him, we can completely trust him. David said this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus said, those that the Father has given me, I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When we are in the hand of Jesus, we are secure forever. Paul says, I know who I've entrusted myself to. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, Jesus said. And Paul writes to the Romans, nothing in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we are secure in Christ, we don't need to hide in a closet. We can come out and be unashamed. And trusting the gospel, we're called to guard the gospel. We've been entrusted with it. Now are we willing to guard it? Are we willing to keep it? Are we willing to keep it pure? Are we willing to keep it simple? Are we willing to keep it safe? But here's the surprise. As we keep this treasure that God has given us, the gospel, we don't hide it. We would think, well, if I'm going to keep it, I'm going to hide it. I'm not going to let anyone touch it. No, we do the exact opposite with this treasure. When we've been entrusted with the gospel, we now entrust others. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The way that should read is daily be strengthened each day in the grace you're going to need, because you're going to need Jesus' grace to do this. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, that's the gospel, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you have been entrusted with it, now entrust others. You need to guard the gospel by giving it away. Give it away the way you received it. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Don't try to make it fit with today's culture. It fits perfectly. God communicated it perfectly well. Just what you have received, give it away. So those of you who have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, those of us who are followers of Jesus in this room, who are we giving it to? Maybe our children, maybe our grandchildren. Maybe a family member who doesn't know Jesus, maybe a friend at school, maybe somebody at work. Who are we entrusting this gospel to? Who are we passing it on to? You see, we guard it by keeping it pure, but we guard it by giving it away because we're not going to be here forever. There's only a period of time that we are in the lives of the people God has put us in the lives of today, and then we'll be gone. And during that period of time, we need to pass this gospel on. We need to guard it by giving it away so that somebody else can receive that gospel, come to know Jesus as their Savior, and they can pass it on. I shared with you one of my joys in going to Uganda in August this year was to see people that Inel and I had poured our lives into now 14 years ago when we left there. But that gospel which we entrusted to them, they are passing on far more effectively than we ever did. Who are you doing that to? We're a multi-generational church. That means there are always people that are not quite as far along in their faith as you are. Whoever you are, wherever you are as a believer of Jesus Christ, who are you passing that on to? It happens best in small settings, in small group settings, or one-on-one. And some of us say, well, nobody's come to me. Nobody's asked me to sort of disciple them, to mentor them. You know what? I don't think Timothy came to Paul and said, Paul, hey, I'd like to travel with you. Paul was a very well-known, prominent man. Timothy was a nobody. Paul saw Timothy, and he saw potential, and he said, Timothy, let's go. Just like Jesus saw Peter fishing and said, Peter, come follow me. You don't wait for somebody to say, will you mentor me? You find somebody else and build a relationship with them, get to know them, build the right to speak into their lives, and pour the gospel. Don't just pour yourself, pour the gospel into them. We need to be doing that across this congregation, everywhere, at every single level. You can be a high school student and you're pouring your life into another high school student or into a junior high student. This week, I was talking to somebody who told me that they were attending a church recently in Indiana that's pastored by a guy I led to the Lord when I was a junior high school in Royal Oak. And then I brought him here to church and discipled him for a couple years. And he is now pastoring a church down there. That's the joy. You can do it when you're in junior high. You can do it at any time. We have been entrusted with God's precious gift. And now we need to entrust others. And entrusted with the gospel, Paul says, Timothy, you need to stay laser focused. Do not get distracted. Beginning with verse 3 in chapter 2, after he tells him to teach others, he says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled with civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So he uses an example of a soldier. He's going to use two more examples in a moment. But a soldier wants to please the one who enlisted him, and so he doesn't get caught up. He doesn't get distracted in other things. Who enlisted us in this faith walk? It was Jesus, right? Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I strive to reach out to accomplish the work for which Jesus reached down and grabbed a hold of my life. Brent's translation. We need to do the same. Jesus reached down. He grabbed a hold of us. He apprehended us. Now, we want to please him. So we can't get distracted. And there are a lot of good things, brothers and sisters, that can distract us. Jonathan Edwards, back in the 1700s, said, here in America, in those days, he said, the greatest distractions are comfort and security. Boy, I think you still are. We want comfort. We want to be secure. We want to think, no, what we want above all, Paul says, is to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel. We've been entrusted with this. That's the primary thing. The next example he gives in the very next verse, verse 5, is an athlete. He's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. God has given us the truth. It's the gospel. It's pure and simple. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Keep it to the rules. Just tell people about who Jesus is. Don't change it, and then you can receive a crown. He talks about a farmer in the next verse, verse 6, and he says it's the hard-working farmer who ought to receive the first share of the crops. It's going to be hard work when we share Jesus with others. When we have realized we've been entrusted with a gospel that we are to entrust others with, we're to give it away. When we do that, it's hard work. It takes our time. It means sometimes when we're sitting at home and we're watching a football game, we actually get up and walk over to our neighbor's house instead because we see an opportunity to talk to them. It means that some evening when we would like to just be sitting at home, we actually get together with somebody else that we want to pour our lives into, and we go have coffee with them, and we share Jesus with them, and we build into their lives. It's going to take hard work, but it's the hardworking people who receive the crops, who receive the rewards for all their hard work. Paul says, whether you're a soldier and you're committed and you're not distracted, you're an athlete and you follow the rules, you keep to the truth, or you're a farmer and you work hard, Timothy, whatever you do, be laser focused. This is more important than anything else you do in your life. This is the most important thing. You've been entrusted with God's treasure, the gospel. Now give it away. Don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed. And then in verse 8, I love these words. Remember Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us and how people respond to us. It's not about what our culture says, you know, it's okay for you, but don't push it on anyone else. It's not about any of that. It's Jesus. Remember Jesus. He left heaven. He came here and he lived this perfect life and laid it down for us. As Asher explained, he died in our place. Remember Jesus. He rose again and he said, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you when you are not ashamed of me. I'm going to share the gospel. And the following verses, he tells us in verse 9, I may be bound but as a criminal, but the word of God is never bound. Never bound. We may feel limited. We may be pushed back. People may tell us, no, that's not right. Don't talk about Jesus here. The word of God is never bound. And God wants to use every one of us. This week, Pete and Lori Cuff, two of our members, Pete has been an elder for some time. Pete and Lori have both taught here for a long time. Pete and Lori are going to Albania this week. Why are they going? Well, they've been to India several times. They've been to China several times. They're going to Albania as a survey trip because they are nearing a point where they can retire from their regular work, but this is their primary work, and they want to know how they're going to spend the rest of their years. They want to give the gospel away. Man, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be, and I hope this week, for the next 10 days, you pray for the Cuffs. Because here's a couple who could say, you know, we've earned the right to retire. We've earned the right to sit back and enjoy. And they say, actually, we've got a greater priority in life. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and now we want to entrust others with it. And we're just asking the Lord to show us where. Oh, that's exciting stuff. Who are you sharing the gospel with? In the last verses, we don't have time to unpack them, but verses 11 to 13, Paul quotes a hymn of the day. He basically says in verse 10, I'm going to endure. I'm going to endure because there are elect people out there, people that God has chosen to grace with the gospel, and I want them to hear the gospel of salvation. So I'm going to endure so I can reach out there and tell them. And then he says, if we died with Jesus, we'll live with him. That's all about conversion. That's the baptism, the picture of baptism. We die with Christ and we live for him. We have a whole new purpose. If we endure with him, we'll reign with him. That's all about perseverance because we're looking at something far greater. But then he gives a warning. If we deny him, if we turn away and say, oh, this isn't important enough, if we deny him, he'll deny us. If we're faithless, he will never be faithless. He is always faithful. We see we have a faithful Savior who will never leave us, never forsake us. Let's come out of the closet, brothers and sisters. Let's come out and not be ashamed. Let's tell everyone about Jesus. I'd like us to pause for just 30 seconds or so and each one of us pray quietly. Would you ask the Spirit of God, would you show me who I need to speak about Jesus to? Thank you. Who do I need to tell this week? Who do I need to pass this on to? I need to guard the gospel, and part of guarding it is giving it away. Just pause for a moment and ask the Lord to show you who you can do that with this week. Lord, you have entrusted us with a very precious treasure of yours, the gospel that you had prepared before you ever created the world. It appeared in Jesus when he showed up as King and God. He destroyed death and he ignited life, real life that lasts forever. Would you please help us never to be ashamed? If there's anyone here in this room, Lord, who's never found that new life in Jesus, would you please help them to reach out to Jesus today and ask him to forgive them? And Lord, for every one of us who know you, would you help us this week to go out of our way to give away what you have given to us, your precious treasure, the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.